Okay, guys, well, it's time for another episode of HO Radio, and we need to think up a funny to do on the show.
A funny?
A funny.
Because
every week we start off with a funny.
I always hate coming up with the funnies.
We don't actually put out an episode every week, so I guess we don't actually have to make a new funny every week. And
maybe we could do a singing one.
We actually don't even go and put out the funnies every episode, even. So we could do a singing one. And my favorite singing one, of course, is the Evangelion drinking song.
That'd be nice.
But I'm going to sing it drunken karaoke style.
Wait, isn't that how we always do it anyway?
Yeah, well, you know, it's, So, you know, it's all good that way.
Oh, man.
Good, you know.
Maybe there's some popular TV show we can make fun of.
There is, we can make fun of, Family Guy.
Oh, yeah.
Because, only losers watch repeats of Family Guy.
Yeah. Maybe there's a game show, like, Who Wants to Be an Anime Millionaire?
Yeah, well, we could do that, you know, but I think we've done that, haven't we?
I don't even remember.
Yeah, I don't remember much either. Why don't we just sing the drinking song again?
I think they might be tired of that.
Well, nobody gets tired of the Evangelion drinking song. And we do an impromptu one where we make up the lyrics to a drinking song, but I remember the last time how well that went over when we tried some improv. It was like, all you hear is the chirping of crickets. It was horrible. I mean, okay, maybe we can try that then, doing an impromptu Irish drinking song. But we all got to agree on an anime to do it about, though.
What's an anime we've all seen?
I don't know. What have you seen lately, ZD guy?
Lately.
That's what I said.
I don't think you've seen anything.
He's been drinking a lot.
Too much.
Yep, we're still waiting for that anime. Are you saying?
That's
anime, a good choice.
Anime Curly Sean Wild. That was a funny
I think
song.
The last one I watched was Evangelion Noise episodes.
Oh, well, maybe we should do a drinking song about that.
No.
Well, we've all seen Dragon Ball Z. We could do this Irish drunken drinking song about Dragon Ball Z. Or
okay.
Just Dragon Ball in general, if all that's right. Easier to swing.
We could do that.
What do you think, Z guy?
We could do that.
All right, now, we're all familiar with how the impromptu, improvisational Irish drinking song game goes, right?
Uh-huh.
Z guy? Has an arched eyebrow.
Somewhere.
You do realize how this song thing goes, right? One person says a line, then you gotta say the next line that ties into that, right?
Yes.
So it'll go me, you, DB3, me, you, DB3, so on and so forth, okay? And we go through the lines. And every two stanzas we say, oh, IDI, IDI, IDI.
Okay.
Okay? Think you can manage this?
I think so.
I don't, but we'll try. Okay. Boy, you know, I hope we don't put this up on the episode. It'll be really, you know, embarrassing with all this stuff.
Yeah.
Beforehand. Okay, so we start off with the IDIDIs, and then I'll start off with the first line, and then after, two stanzas, we do the IDIDIs.
All right.
For total four. We'll figure it out.
All
okay. Right. Oh, IDIDIDIDIDIDIDI. Goku is strong.
Goku is smart.
What are you doing, Z-Guy? Strong, smart, those don't go together.
Broke it all, DB3. Now, let's start where I would. Goku is strong.
Goku is smart.
That's why he always.
What? No! You've got to rhyme with strong.
I thought you were going to rhyme with strong.
No, it goes A-B-A-B. So you go, you know, strong, smart, long, fart.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. All
right. So let's start this again. Oh, I. Goku is strong.
Goku is smart.
That's why he always beats Kong.
Because he has to fart. Okay, come on. Four, right. Okay. No, actually, that would be the fifth line.
1, 2, 3, 4 Oh, yeah, you're fine.
Okay. Goku can go Super Saiyan.
Only when he's in trouble.
Or when he hears the kids ban. Or when Boo farts. That doesn't rhyme with what TV3 said at all.
Alright, I think you're right. This is just sucking.
Yeah. Let's just, let's do the one that's written down so Z-Guy has an easier time of it. Oh, she said her name was Rey. She said she was the best.
She said she was a mecha.
She was a mecha.
Oh, I can't read it. There's a glare on the screen.
Well, I like her being a mecha. That's hilarious. Alright, fine. We'll fix that. Let's see. Gotta be a way to make that text bigger. Probably in the preferences. Wouldn't that be a wise place to look at? Let's see. Try to make it big enough for, let's be sarcastically large. No, that's a bit too large, I guess. Let's, take it down from 36 and make it 24. Is that good?
Yeah, now I can read it.
Okay, so, let's take it again from the top. She said her name was Rey. She said she was the best.
She said she used a mecha.
A pilot above the rest.
I asked her if she'd go out with me.
I said it so sincere.
She said, hey, yo, buddy.
You can pilot my rear.
I was so pleased.
As happy as can be.
I was a man.
And she's the one for me.
I asked her if I
could jump right on in.
And she said, hey, buddy.
Hold your breath, we're gonna swim.
I asked her if she'd
happened to have any friends.
She said she had a few.
But they were half-breed friends.
There was Asuka.
And Shinji, too.
I asked her if he was strong.
She laughed the whole lot through.
Then came the angels.
Guarded by the light.
I asked old Rey if
she would spend the night.
She paused and gave it a thought.
I didn't know what she would say.
She said the angels need to be fought.
Don't forget to meet her and stay.
There's clever engineers.
But yeah.
Time for ASO Radio.
And so once again, I welcome you, our dear listeners, to ASO Radio. This is NZ17,
G-Guy,
and GB3,
bringing you a brand stinking new episode of ASO Radio. GB3, which episode is this?
Is it 75?
No, that was last week.
Oh, yeah. That means it's 76.
Holy crap! I'm glad you graduated third grade.
I
didn't even count that high in third grade.
Yeah, because I remember counting to 100 in second grade.
I think they're even doing multiplication by then.
Yeah, they probably are.
I tell you, kids, they're making out earlier and earlier these days. Anyways, wrong sort of multiplication. We've got a very fun show for you today.
Yes.
And why is this?
Well, it's an anticipation of so much.
So much, huh?
Yeah.
And nothing to do with the Z-Guy being here?
No.
No. The reason this episode's so exciting is we get to kick DB3 out early.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're all stoked about that.
Yeah.
Or are we stoked about something else? Z-Guy? I don't know, maybe
it involves a trip.
It involves a trip.
Doesn't involve acid.
Doesn't involve acid.
No.
Maybe.
Yes.
It could be.
Yes.
You got it?
Yeah.
Trip to see Howl's Moving Castle?
Oh, I was going to say getting our butts autographed, but that's pretty good. Yeah, a trip out to see Howl's Moving Castle. And we will bring in indeed. we will go and have a special episode of ASO Radio, and actually, here's the crazy thing. This is episode 76, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to jump into our Wayback Machine. DB3 and I have used this machine before. Causes zaniness every time. And we're going to go back before episode number 73 and give our review then. Now, I'm not sure, what do you think? Should that be episode 73 and a half? Or should it be episode 77?
73 and a half.
Yeah, that sounds better to me.
Ah, yeah, 73 and a half. You know, I thought it funny. This is the sixth season of ASO Radio, right?
Uh-huh.
It is, right? I'm not imagining that.
No, it's the sixth season.
Okay, because sometimes I imagine things. yeah, let's see. So, because 6 times 13 is 78, right?
Yep.
Ah, so it's the fifth season, you dumbass.
Shut up!
Okay. Anyways, my point is, I thought episode 77, we could go and make it a tribute to T-Man 777. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't happen in season 7, so it's not actually 3-7. But it's as close as we can get. So I think we'll tribute the episode to him, but we won't talk about him, because we do that, you know, and it drags down the show. we're going to go back in time and make episode 73 and a half, which will appear before episode 74, which is a good thing, and give our review of Howl's Moving Castle, put it up on all the popular websites, and hopefully we'll get a lot of hits.
Yeah.
Hopefully not too much to go and take me over my bandwidth limitations, but enough to go and booster our ratings.
Yay.
So, or bolster, all depending on how you want to use English. Also, we're going to review nothing. Well, actually, DB3 is going to have to leave the show early today on account of his foot stink, and
it's bad too. And I just don't want to kill these guys.
Z Guy and I are going to review Scrapped Princess Volume 1 and do some pole dancing. And then the hot spot, I don't know, what do you guys think? Should I do a soundtrack review, or should I do a manga review?
Well, it's been a while since we've had a soundtrack review.
Yeah.
Plus, it always helps to break up the monotony.
Yeah.
You know, with the music and the playing and the, hey, I know, let's listen to some more anime music on the show. Yay!
That would be exciting.
Would it, though? Would it really?
You know...
Or is that just a lie?
We still haven't got any feedback about our commercials. Oh, wait. No one's actually heard them yet, have they?
Yeah, well, you know, it's website development. That's the excuse. No, I'm putting up the Club MD section. I've just not put it up yet, so we'll see what happens. Intro going way too long, though.
Yeah.
So, let's get the chase to the anime news. And now it's time for the Any O'Clock Anime News. Go, Anime Windows! Oh, here's the news window. Okay, let's see, how shall I distribute this? I want Z-Guy to take this first news out.
Alright. Maze over Akihabara. On June 11th, 36 maids hired to promote the release of He Is My Master descended on Akihabara in full maid regalia.
Yeah, learn English, dumbass.
I wonder if anybody out there has ever heard of the word regalia.
I have.
Oh my gosh. You gotta be kidding me. Anyway.
No, we're serious.
Let's see.
Left off at regalia.
Yeah, regalia, if everybody can remember what I just said.
to hand out He Is My Master, clear files, and promote the June 10th release of its first volume on DVD.
Yeah, I really hate subservient shit. I mean, I don't like to swear on the show, but I really, really hate it when people are subservient. It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
And with the show called He Is My Master, I only get two images in my head. And one of them involves bondage and discipline. The other, my homeroom teacher. Now, wait a minute, He Is My Master. Never mind. DV3, if you would.
Well, we have sad news for all you living in China. China.
Yeah, you're living in China.
China.
Don't go to the cursed spring.
Could ban foreign animation, according to the Shenzhen Daily Newspaper.
Oh, boy, Jim Sadio.
Newspaper.
Cursed spring.
Thanks, Enzi.
Lack of foreign animation.
According to the Shenzhen Daily Newspaper, officials at the Chinese State Administration of Radio, Film, and Television, so sort of like our...
Nazi.
Yeah. Recently, she said that they could ban foreign-made cartoons from primetime television once Chinese animation reaches a certain level. The ban could be to protect and encourage China's domestic animation market.
Thankfully, most Chinese television's under 2 feet tall. okay, so that's actually it for the news. You can believe it or not, this new strict news policy is actually rather rewarding because we get through it rather fast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and...
But there were some things that we could have talked about, like Howl's Moving Castle's premiere and stuff.
Yeah, and Ebert being like, yeah, man, each one is good, yeah, Ron.
Or about Miyazaki's part in the Washington Post.
Yeah, well, you know, it's... Just because he's a regular contributing writer now doesn't mean... Oh, wait, no, he isn't. So, anyways, yeah, strict on the news. So, what we're going to do is I'm going to go and give our readers a treat and let them see me without my glasses.
NZ, I never knew you looked like that.
Well, you know, it's, I don't like to go and talk about my face exercises. Okay, so now my glasses are back on, and I'm going to give the audience the treat I was just talking about. I just felt like taking off my glasses.
All right.
I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant.
Oh, no.
Now, as we know, in the hot spot, we have our Raven rant. But this hot spot, I'm going to do a soundtrack review, and we ain't got time for that, you know, for the Raven rant. So I'm going to do it here instead. There's two things that I'm going to rave and rant about, and I can't remember one of them, which is really annoying the hell out of me. One of them was about, oh, that's it, the Maisani Kaku dub. That's the one thing.
And the other one was you getting mad at me for having to go?
No, sometimes, you know, I think to myself, isn't he potty trained yet?
Oh.
Yeah, okay, so we're all going to bid. DV3, fond farewell.
Love you guys.
All right, see you, DV3. Don't let the door hit you in the ass. I mean, come back soon.
I'll try.
See you in Salt Lake.
All
right. Hopefully we'll go back in time soon. I'll kick your ass for leaving the show early when I do. I mean, see ya. See ya. All right, go ahead and scoot over there, Z-Guy. Got a little more room.
All right.
Also, you need to be more aggressive. You've gotten a total of 20 words in this show, and I want to go and see some progress.
Okay.
But first, I want to go and have you go on a mini rant, okay?
A mini rant. What subject?
The subject, bad dubbing in video games and examples you can give.
Ooh, there's a lot I could do about that. Okay.
Uh-oh, he put down his drink. It's going to be a whopper.
Okay, get this. The first example I can think of course, you know yours. And, one thing about bad dubbing, and I can even think about a couple of examples where they don't do any dubbing, just for that example, you know, movies that used to be in current video games and past video games,
mm-hmm.
that on purpose did not say anything in any of the movies, just because of the dubbing. And I always hated that, and it must be
true. Could you give us an example?
Yeah, like some of the Final Fantasies, there have been some other RPGs, what was, let's see, You know what? The new release, the PlayStation release of Chrono Trigger did that also. I don't think they had anything in there. But
well, they had a lot of Chrono having that, you know, surprise look on his face, like.
Yeah, you know, exactly, so. Exactly. But stuff like Xenogears, mm-hmm. Come on, they could have did a better job. It looks like they freaking just went with the premonition that they were supposed to adapt it to any language. Well, that didn't work out. They just put it, the mouse don't even move with the words at all. They didn't do any syncing.
But didn't they do that with the dub so that it could be a more accurate translation?
I don't think so.
Because I remember reading that in Xenogears, they didn't go and lip sync it, because if they did that, then they would have to match the mouth flaps and thus cut out a true translation to match the mouth.
Even so!
Driving you crazy, huh?
Think of the many... Just think of all the anime that's out there. How much dubbing has been done with anime. It's like they didn't even...
4 hours.
4 hours.
4 hours of dubbing.
4 hours of dubbing.
For all the anime.
For all the anime.
Mm-hmm. Two of that alone spent on Shinji crying. Believe it or not. Yeah, so anime, yes. lots of dubbing.
There's been lots of dubbing, and you can tell that there are professionals out there trained to do stuff like this, and on some of these, they don't even take the effort to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So... get some professionals. Let's get some dubbing going. Some good dubbing.
Oh, yeah, we're dubbing the show.
Oh.
The show's originally broadcast in Portuguese.
That's dang right. See? Look how professional we are.
Oh, and Z-Guy, I want you to give a shout-out to all of our Spanish-listening fans, if you would.
Epa, ¿cómo están? Ese es eso, radio. Radio.
It's all good.
Y todo está bueno.
Also tell them we rock shores their box shores as best you can.
Nosotros temblamos sus pantalones, pues.
Also, import Pocky.
Import Pocky.
Yeah.
Trail Pocky.
Exactly. That's good stuff.
That it is. That Pocky is good stuff. I like it.
And... believe it or not, our local Walmart Supercenter now carries Pocky.
Yeah, they carry it in both chocolate and strawberry.
Very good stuff.
Yes.
Unfortunately, all the flavors outside of that you have to import and they're really expensive.
Yeah, that's true.
But we'll live with it. Yeah. We've got something for now.
Mm-hmm.
Now all we need to do is get them to get in some Yam Yam and I'll be great. So, and some of that photon rice candy. Yeah. Hey, they'll sell stuff as long as it sells. What can I say? They deliver in bulk. That's their thing.
They do.
They can sell it in large quantities. They'll carry it. That's why they have lots of cheap Chinese-made stuff. Okay, so now it's on to my rant. And my rant, first of all, is on the dub of My Shinikaku.
Yeah.
And Z-Guy and I have been doing this show for a very long time.
Yes, very long time.
And I'm talking in years, not episode counts, or else we'd be a little... and as a result, we've been watching anime for a very long time. As a matter of fact...
it's been about 6 years, hasn't it?
This will be my 10th year actively watching anime, believe it or not. Started watching in 95. First show I got, you know, regular watching addiction to, was Sailor Moon. Watched it every night, every morning. Good times, good times. Anyways, in that time, anime has evolved.
Yes, it
and is. I'm not just talking about the Japanese going and using computers to go and animate the episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm talking about is the evolution on this side of the Pacific. And specifically, dubbing has gotten a lot better.
Yes, it has.
Much, much better. I mean... if you look at the earlier episodes of the show, it seemed just about every show we were giving out a not recommended, because we were coming across anime that was just not only horrible, but horribly dubbed, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the true tragedy of My Shinikaku, is today's otaku, the casual, oh, I like anime guy that just buys or rents whatever's at Suncoast or Blockbuster and watches it in English, they don't appreciate what they have. They don't know what it's been like, and they don't know that it's always best to watch it in Japanese. So I think for all of the modern-day anime fans, probably 80% of them just watch it in English. Not even a thought given to it, you know. If it popped up by default to Japanese, like His and Her Circumstances does, I think they would just switch it right away to English and be mad that it wasn't Japanese, you know. So where's this point headed, you may wonder.
Mm.
Wonder it aloud.
Now, why do people not take into consideration what you have to put into the dubbing?
Good enough to what I wanted you to say. My point is this. Mice and Ikkaku was dubbed before Ramna One Half, if memory serves me right. If not, then during Ramna One Half dubbing. And it's so horrible. It's really, really awful. It's like all the characters are completely out of character, given their Japanese counterparts. They're doing these wacky, cartoony, like, voices, you know, and it's just all wrong. And worst of all, the greatest insult, not only are the voices wrong, but they're not doing a very accurate dub of it even. Like, somebody might call somebody by their name, but in the dub, they'll leave off the name. They'll be like, instead of, oh, you know, such and such is calling me, they'll be like, oh, he's calling me. Or they might take it even further. Instead of, oh, such and such is calling me, it might be like, oh, great, he's nagging me again. I gotta go. You know, I mean, that's really changing things. And it's not like just one or two instances. I'm watching the second volume of Mice and Ikkaku from the first DVD box set, and I watch the dub, and I watch the sub, and I'm thinking, crap! They're just doing all sorts of liberties with this. It's just crazy. So, yeah, if you watch Mice and Ikkaku, I mean, you know, before on the show we said, oh, the English not very good, or better than Japanese, or, you know, or we might say, oh, I recommend usually just watch Japanese dub. But in this case, I highly recommend people watch it in Japanese with the subtitles, or else, you know, you're going to hate the show. It's a tender, romantic comedy with some over-the-top moments, but if you watch it dubbed, it's like, the cartoony voices destroy it. I mean, it really does.
Well, one question here. What was the company that dubbed it over?
Oh, Z-Guy asks the silliest uninformed questions. As all Rumiko Takahashi titles are, Mice and Ikkaku was dubbed by Viz, who is now brought up into a sister company called Shopro. And, yeah, Viz, eternal contract with Rumiko Takahashi. Viz recently changed its name to Shopro after it merged with one of its sister companies.
All right.
Which, it's actually, they were both daughter companies of another company. All right, so my other...
family in this dang business.
Yeah, okay. So, Z-Guy... Were you around when everybody, let's see, you've heard the term, the shot heard around the world, right? Referring to the shot that started the Revolutionary War, right?
Yeah.
Okay. For those foreigner listeners, I'm referring to the U.S. Revolutionary War. Okay. Now, were you around when people saw the breast around the world?
The breast around the world.
Yes, the breast which changed television in America forever.
I think so, yeah.
Two Super Bowls back.
Yeah.
Halftime show.
So. Uh-huh.
Janet Jackson ruined television.
Yeah.
Were you watching that show?
I was, actually.
Yeah. What's been rather shocking for you?
Yeah, it was. And the little nipple ring and everything. That was, it was horrible.
Now, I wasn't watching it, but I did have to find out what all the hubbub was about. And so I went online, and I have to say, of all of the nipples, and if you want to extend it, breasts, that could have ruined television, why did they have to pick such an ugly one? Okay. So, at this point, you know, people might be going, Andy, it's a show about anime. And you're right, and this is my point, is I want to talk about the Cartoon Network airing the recent anime that they've been airing, right? They've been showing Samurai Champloo, and Esprit. Am I thinking of Esprit? No, I'm thinking of Paranoia Agent, okay? Mm. They're showing some new anime during the summer, right? And I don't know what they're going to do in the fall, but whatever. Here's my point, is that ever since Janet Jackson went and got a flashing, it has destroyed television. Now, people might not notice it on the surface, they're just watching TV. But you've seen the documentaries on the National Geographic before, right?
Yeah.
Ziga? And a lot of times they'll show indigenous people, right? And these are documentaries, and, you know, a lot of times indigenous people, especially in the warmer climates, will go around partially garbed, right?
Yeah, right.
These days, believe it or not, they're being forced to blur out the chests of these native people.
Wow.
Yeah,
That's a first.
It's really distracting, too. You know, because you're watching the show, it's supposed to be taking place in the middle of nowhere, you know, with this ancient African tribe or whatnot. You're like, what the hell's wrong with the camera? Did they get gauze on it, or maybe it was raining? Until you realize this, okay? And it's just like everywhere. It's really crazy, including anime. And that's just one example, you know. Another thing they're doing driving me nuts, they're going and they're blurring out classical statues and paintings that appear in television with nudes.
Mm-hmm.
Taking things way too far because of the overreaction to radical groups, you know. They're like, oh, you can't show this stuff on TV. Let's write a million letters to the FCC. And this has gone and affected our anime viewing. Ziga.
How so?
And I don't think it's any laughing matter. Until I talk really funny! And then it is a laughing matter. Okay. I was watching Samurai Champloo, and in one episode, this particular episode I happened to be watching. Wait, where was it going? Okay. In this one episode, Fu, she's the main female character of this show.
Okay.
And for those who haven't seen Samurai Champloo, just imagine Cowboy Bebop, but with the hip-hop influence. I mean, really, it's almost an exact clone, except it's not futuristic space. It's supposed to be feudal, you know, fantasy Japan kind of thing.
Okay.
Alright, so, at this one point, there's, she gets involved in this painting. This guy's supposed to paint her, right? He's posing as this artist. What actually is he's doing all of these paintings that are basically being used as a catalog for people to go and select Japanese women who will then be exported to rich foreigners and forced to marry them in a foreign country. Okay? And, so anyways, he does this drawing of her, and at first she just has her robes down around her shoulders, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh no, you need to go and put the robes down further. And so like she's like, oh no, I don't want to do that. He's like, no, I'm not a pervert, da-da-da-da-da. So, shows the painting at the end of the episode that he did, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it's so ridiculous, right? Because the first, it shows three shots, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The first one shows her butt, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just looks normal, no edit, right?
Okay. Right.
The next shot shows her upper body, right?
Mm-hmm.
They went and they edited it so that they airbrushed out her nipple to make it look as part of the background, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, you know, if you will, Barbie doll style, you know, sans the nipple thing.
Yeah.
Then they show the full view of the painting, right? And it's missing a big block from her breast. I mean, it's just like a huge block the size of your hand missing from the picture. Not blacked out even. It's like they went and they put in the background of the picture, but they blocked out this huge portion. So it looks like the end of a wrench. She doesn't have a breast, she has a wrench end. It was after, I was like, what are you doing now? What is going on here? Confused the hell out of me, right? And then to top it all off, afterwards comes on the show Paranoia Agent, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this particular episode was about a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
And during the first half of the show, I can't remember exactly when, it shows her topless and it shows her nipple. What is wrong? We'll show the nipple here because it's half an hour later okay? Nobody will be watching this one, but we'll have to go and really shoot over this first show. It's like, no sense, they're absolute hypocrites. It's like, cut it out the nipple here, leave it here, put a big ass block there. You know, it's making no sense. Drive me crazy. Drive me crazy.
Yeah, if they chose to show all these, why don't they just all show them all later? In fact, was this on on Cartoon Network?
Adult Swim.
Adult Swim. So they show it later, don't they?
Yeah, and during Adult Swim, every so often they show a message like, "Oh, Adult Swim contains material not acceptable for viewers under 14. You know, viewer discretion advised."
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you don't have to do this crap. You know, it's not like they're going and showing Samurai Champloo at an earlier time slot. At least to my knowledge. And here's where it gets even worse, right? Okay, they can go and have words like freaking, right? Okay, let me backtrack. Samurai Champloo, influenced by Japanese hip-hop, okay?
Yeah.
Has a lot of stylistic, it's kind of like hip-hop animated, if you will, but in a samurai setting. And so it's got all sorts of stylistic things, like it might have a record scratch for a screen transition, you know. And as we all know, hip-hop generally has explicit and violent lyrics, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so compared to Cowboy Bebop, there's a lot more, you know, sexual-related content to this and whatnot. There's a lot of swearing, and there's a lot of violence and a lot of blood, decapitations, people losing hands, arms, legs, you know, the usual. So when they show this on Cartoon Network, though, they go and not only do they do the foo-boo-boo, but they also go and they cut out a lot of the blood, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then they go and they mute out the swear words, right? Like there might be a big action-packed scene where everybody's fighting, and this guy might say swear word, but instead of going and like muting out the swear word or keeping in the background sound or beeping it out or whatever, the sound's just gone for why he's going and swearing. You know, and it's like Adult Swim removing adult content. You know, it's just a little hypocritical, you know, a little contradictive. And I just think that they smoke the crap. That's my simplified explanation of how come the Cartoon Network's doing what the Cartoon Network's doing. You know?
Some of those shows on Adult Swim are just not very cool. I think they're running on maybe a budget or something, and so they do all this crap to stay productive.
The Adult Swim originals, right? It's like they can do the most crazy, heinous, wild bull crap.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly,
you know, I mean, if you watch some of the episodes of especially like Harvey Birdman, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, or what was that one called? The Brothers one.
Oh, I don't know.
Those shows are really explicit in the stuff they do.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But we got to go and we got to edit this anime, right?
Yeah.
And here's another crazy thing, right? Okay, there's this scene in that episode of Samurai Champloo I was talking about.
Yeah.
Where there's a police officer, and he's on the stakeout. And they purposely, imply that he's going and he's masturbating, right, while on the stakeout. And then they're like, this is in the original Japanese version, too, of course. And then it shows he's actually just exercising with this, like, rubber billy club, right? And he's just moving it, like, back and forth to build up his arm strength, right? But, you know, the words he's saying, like, you know, whenever you have a spare minute, it's great to do this for some upper arm strength, you know, and obviously what they're getting at here. But they can include that, you know, because that's implicit. It's not explicit. Oh, so it's fine, right?
Mm-hmm,
you know, but they can go and just, I don't know. It's just such a double standard that it drives me crazy.
Yeah, it's okay to imply it, but not to actually do it.
Right. Well, not only that, but when they're explicit instead of implicit, it's really mild. But when it comes to the adult-made American Swim, Adult Swim shows, oh, we can do whatever we want.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not even a double standard, man. It's like triple or quadruple territory. You know, I'm not septuple even. You know, that's up though. I'm not even sure where we are on the scale anymore.
Buy all you want, it's the thought that counts.
Yeah.
And they apparently don't get that.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go ahead and move on to the next section of the show. 76, ASO Radio.
Right on.
Booyah.
Booyah.
Booyah. And I'm sorry, we can't go on to the next section.
Why not?
You didn't say your catchphrase.
My catchphrase.
Your catchphrase.
I'm supposed to have a catchphrase?
You've had a catchphrase for almost the entire run of this show. You know, ASO Radio is practically
okay,
the beginning.
Okay, here it is.
Sweet. Close.
Close. Oh, man, come
remember,
on.
Remember, sweet.
Sweet.
Very okay.
There we go.
Now we can go on to the next section.
All right, rock on.
It's not a new view, it's not a preview, it's a review. Anime review.
Well, I tell you, that was a really relaxing break that we took in between finishing up the news, and that little rant or two or seven, and doing up the rest of the show.
And magically, I'm back.
Magically, you're back.
Z-I is gone.
It's an incredible switcheroo that I did here.
He's just taking some of those magical catgirl powers to himself.
Well, see, it's not so magical when you consider that in radio time, it was mere seconds. But in real time, it took 4 months before we started recording the second half of this episode.
They might think we're weird or something.
We recorded the first half on the 16th of, let's see, January, February, March, April, May, June. On the 16th of June, and now we're recording the second half on the 23rd of October. So, magic radio powers make it seem just switcheroo.
Would it be sort of like a time warp?
Yes, we do the time warp a lot on this show. But tell them, DB3, what I will be reviewing for episode 76.
For episode 76, Angie's going to be reviewing Maisen Ikaku Volume 4.
Yes, or as Viz likes to call it, Maisen Ikaku Box Set Volume 2, Disc 1 of 3. Which, it's like, puts out all of these box sets. It's just crazy how they do it. It's
dang, Viz.
Yeah,
they think so confusing.
Okay, you think that each box set would have 13 episodes.
Yeah.
But the first box set has 12 episodes.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But enough of this. We'll go ahead and, since the news, quote-unquote, section lasted so long, I'll make this review short. Okay, so, Maisen Ikaku, all about our hero Godai trying to go and get the love of Kyoko. Okay, and so this continues on into this episode. So, remember, DB3, back when we reviewed His and Her Circumstances?
Yeah.
Did you see all of that anime?
No.
Ah. Okay, do you remember where they had the school fest, and I talked about that?
I remember you talking about it.
Okay. Well, school fest comes up for Godai at his college, and he's not part of anything, and so he gets finagled into joining the puppet club.
Okay? Oh, the puppet club.
The puppet club. Well, everybody in the puppet club is girls except for this one huge guy that can do this very girly puppet voice, which is pretty funny. And so he gets caught up into this. Well, the head of the puppet club sees him with Kyoko, and she decides it would be fun to go, because they seem like a couple of sorts, and she thought it would be really funny to go and drive Kyoko crazy. And so what she does is she and all of the other girls get to drinking. And then they keep calling Godai at all hours of the day, one after another, pretending they're all sorts of different girls, in order to go and make Kyoko think that Godai has been with all of these different girls, because he's getting calls from all of them. And of course, she's still thinking about the young co-worker from the place he used to work at all this. And so she starts getting really jealous and everything. It's rather funny. And then when he finally gets able to reveal to her that it's just all of these girls have been calling him, and that the one cries when she drinks and the other one's really boisterous, and that they've just been doing this to tease him, and that it's all been about official club business, then she feels really bad and ashamed about that. And so she says sorry and she wants to make it up for him. Well, in the next episode, Godai goes to go, and he's worked up this courage that he thinks, okay, she feels all bad about this. I'll go and I'll ask her to go out on a date with me.
Go, guy.
Yeah. So he's around the corner, and he's, like, reciting to himself all this, trying to pump himself up, get him to go and ask her out on a date. Well, meanwhile, she had been in the back of the building hanging up laundry. And it was such a nice warm day that, and she was a bit tired from it, that she laid down and she dozed off. So he comes around the corner, stands in front of where she is, and he starts to go and ask her out before he realizes that she's just sleeping on the ground. And he's like, you know what, I should go and squeeze her knee. And, like, he reaches close. He's like, no, I can't do it. Then all of a sudden she wakes up and she goes, oh, Godai, I was awake the whole time. And he's like, oh, thank God I didn't squeeze her knee. And anyways, he asks her out to go to Ma Meishan. And she says, oh, sure, I'll go to Mamezo. And so they got their locations matched up because they sounded so close. And then she goes, phew, it's a good thing he believed that I was actually awake that whole time. I hope he didn't do anything. So that was pretty funny there. And so then he ends up going to the restaurant waiting for her. And this, of course, happened on the one-year anniversary of her being manager. And so all the other residents took her out to go drinking at the place that she thought Godai was supposed to meet her at. So she's dressed up all nice, but she's just in this bar with all the other residents. And there's a couple of misinformation floating about when she comes across his friend who said Godai ran out to go and meet this girl, and so she thought that he had ran out to go and meet the girl from his work. And so then she goes, and she's all heartbroken, and she goes back to the bar with his friend, and then later the girl from where Godai used to work shows up, and she asks him if her and Godai had a fun time. She's like, no, I haven't seen Godai all night. And then she realizes, oh, crap, because when she first went to go find Godai, she had been waiting for 3 hours before somebody thought maybe it was a mistake and she was supposed to meet him at the restaurant. Well, when she went to the restaurant where she met his friend, Godai had, he's like, that's it, I can't take any more of this. You think he's all upset and he's going to leave? But he'd just been holding it in so he wouldn't have to go to the bathroom. So he's in the bathroom when she comes, and she doesn't think he's there. And so when his co-worker shows up, it's been another 3 hours. So he'd been waiting for her since, like, 9 o'clock, I mean, since 6 o'clock or so, and it was midnight, and she's running there, and you're like, oh, no, and she gets there, and it's all locked up, and you're like, oh, that's so horrible. And she happens to go and goes, knocks on the door, and they're like, miss, we're closed, and she runs in, and she starts yelling for Godai. He's not there, and you're feeling so horrible. And then it turns out he comes out of the bathroom then a second time, and so they finally end up together at the end of the episode. So that was a bit endearing. And then after that, it was the puppet show finally happened for the puppet club he signed up for, and he's playing the role of the prince in the show, and one of the other girls there is playing the role of the princess. And, you know, everybody in the club has a role in this play that they're putting on, and it's mainly just kids and whatnot, and their play goes off without a hitch, all the lines done and everything, but all the kids watching were really, really bored by it, because it was just like a traditional fairy tale style doing one. Well, you know, Kyoko had found out about the puppet play and had asked if she could go and see it, because if you remember, she's a young widow, and because she got married so young, she never got the chance to go to college, wanted to check it out. Well, of course, all the residents have to come along, because there are all these looky-loos and whatnot, and they end up going and coming across the sake club, and they end up drinking all the sake that the sake club had made and stored, and like previous classes of the sake club had done and whatnot. And they were all heartbroken, and all the residents are all laughing it up. And so at that point, Kyoko can finally sneak away, and she goes to the puppet show. Well, it's in between plays, and
So they try to get her all interested and involved and whatnot. And, of course, Godai wants her to go, you know, as well. And she wants to, and so they want her to go and perform in front of all the kids because she seems to really like it, but she's too embarrassed to go and do that. And one of the girls says, oh, I was supposed to meet my boyfriend, so it would really help me if you did fill in. And she's like, well, I don't know. And so they all push her, and she's like, well, okay. And so when she does it, though, she's, like, really into it, right? And screaming her lines and everything, and everybody's really impressed by how well she's doing it. Well, of course, all the puppets are up along the puppet stage, but all the people are back there, and they have to scoot around on all their knees and whatnot. And she's really into going and doing the play, and so she's not paying mind to things. And, of course, however, Godai is all frozen, right? Because she keeps rubbing up against him as she's moving around, and she keeps, like, talking to him with the princess doll, so she's leaning on him and whatnot. He's like, it's like a dream come true, and so he keeps messing up all of his lines. And she's like, Prince, you will go out, at this one point, the prince is supposed to, tell the princess to stay there because he's going to go out and slay the dragon, okay? That's how it's supposed to go down. But she goes, oh, Prince, don't leave me here all alone to go and slay the dragon. And he goes, okay. She goes, you're not supposed to say, okay, what about the dragon? And he's like, yes, I will protect you from the dragon. And she goes, but can I come with you? And he's like, yes, you can. She's like, no, I need to stay in the castle. And she's like, no, it's fine if you come with me. She's like, no, I'm supposed to stay in the castle. And she's like, okay, so are you going to go and fight the dragon? She's like, no, I'll stay here with you. It's like, no, that's not the line. And so finally, the dragon drags him out of the castle. And so it's rather funny indeed. And the final episode on this is called Sympathy Scramble, if I should stumble, which I don't know why they decided to make it all S's, because in Japanese they say panic, you know, because it's borrowed from English, and so you can tell really easily. But anyways, in this one, Kyoko is playing tennis with her playboy of a coach, and end up going and pulling her muscle when she goes after the ball. And so she's sick, and not sick, but she sprained her muscle, and so she's in bed. And so all the residents are taking care of her. So you gotta feel bad for Kyoko, because they're all trying to be so nice to her, and she's trying to be appreciative and respectful and pay it back, and they all keep bringing her food, so she's just getting bloated with all of this food, and it's like, first the tennis coach comes over, and he makes her this fancy dinner, and then Godai comes in, and he spent his, like, last $6 buying ingredients to make her this stuff. It turned out not so great, because he couldn't afford all the ingredients. And even though she's stuffed, she, like, goes and she forces herself to eat this down. I think, like, the mom character, she came in with a plate of, like, dumplings earlier. So she's just stuffed and whatnot. And so, anyways, on the second day or so, of course, you know, Godai and what's that tennis coach's name, if you remember, DB3?
That's a good question. I don't remember.
Well, let me see if I can pull that up real quick. But anyways, of course, those two are all going and trying to compete and be the most sympathetic and everything. And then, of course, you know, their rivalry for Kyoko, she eventually goes, hey, you know, you guys need to just chill out and everything. Okay, so I don't remember his name. Okay, well, never mind. It doesn't matter. And so anyway, she's like, hey, you guys just need to chill out, whatever. And so by the second day, she's tired of everybody taking care of her. And so she's like, well, you know, I can do something for myself. And I'll go ahead and I'll go and take, like, what's that called? The sponge bath in here, right, in her room. And so she decides to go with that. Well, at the same time, Godai finds out from the mom character how stuffed Kyoko got from all this food and everybody, so he went to go apologize, and so he runs into the room to go and apologize, and she's in the middle of taking this sponge bath, and so that kind of gets him in the doghouse at the end of this volume, until, of course, she's kind of like, oh, well, he was doing that just to, you know,
as an apology and everything. So, as you can tell, I enjoyed this volume of Maisha Mikaku. I know it's difficult to tell, but yes, I did enjoy episodes 13 through 16 of Maisha Mikaku. This is one of those great series that just keeps growing on you, you know? It's more or less the same thing every time, but unlike, say, Ramna One Half, it makes a little bit of progress every single time, and so it really keeps you watching. So I'm going to give this one highly recommended. DB3, any commentary you'd like to provide?
You know, as I've been watching, I've got to watch a couple of the volumes, and I don't know, I like it, but it's just not one that's sticking to me. Not for any particular, like, I can't single out any single reason.
Right.
It's just, I don't know.
Well, maybe it's just because you came in on a bad volume.
Yeah.
But you did see Volume 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
How'd you like that?
It was all right.
Was it better than 2?
It was better than 2, but it's still not something, like, I'd go out of my way to try and watch. It's just something, oh, look, here's some anime. There's nothing else on.
Maybe it's just because I relate so much to Godai. All right, well, enough of this review, then. I think it's time we move on to the hot spot.
Oh, baby, a hot spot.
Okay, so, for this episode, I'm going to be going and reviewing the... the CD is called Fiction. This is going to be a so-called soundtrack review. I mean, I'm not really reviewing a soundtrack, but when has that ever stopped us on this show? This one's called Fiction. And, give me a minute to look this up. DB3, go and provide some filler while I go and look up the proper name of the artist that did this album.
Alright. So there I was the other day. Oh, so over the weekend, I went to Lagoon.
Okay.
Yeah, at Lagoon there's this hypnotist. First time my mom's ever seen a hypnotist show. She quite enjoyed it. My little sister, she was one of them that got hypnotized.
Yeah.
She has ADD, so the guy said that ADD people can go out really quickly. And we didn't know that at the start of the show, and the whole show, like, because my sister, she plays along with things. We couldn't tell if she was actually just playing along or if she was actually hypnotized.
Right.
And she did some pretty crazy stuff, and by the end, we're like, no, she has to be hypnotized.
Did she remember any of it?
Uh-uh. She didn't.
All right, then. Now we're prepared. Okay, the artist is Yuki Kajiura, who, as you may recall, did part of the soundtrack for Dot Hack Sign. And she also did some of the songs from Noir. This CD is comprised of some of the tracks from her anime and some of them from that she's done originally. To briefly read this one paragraph description here, it says, this special CD soundtrack is being released in the United States even before its release in Japan. Will feature 3 tracks from Noir sung in English, which are Canto Per Me, Salvanos, and Lullaby. 3 tracks from Dot Hack Sign, which are Key of the Twilight, Fake Wings, and Open Your Heart, a melody song from the anime series Accordion Age, and other brand new songs. So here's the soundtrack real quick. DB3, go ahead and read the soundtrack. I've been talking a lot.
All right, the track listings go as follows. Key of the Twilight, Cynical World, Fake Wings, Fiction, Vanity, Canto Per Me, Zodiacal's... Sorry.
The ones like Canto Per Me, read it as though it's Spanish or Italian, because that's what it is.
Canto Per Me.
Okay.
Awakening, Open Your Heart, Winter, and Salvanos.
So, we're going to go ahead, let you hear a little sample of the music, and then I'll come back and give you my thoughts on this CD. So that gives you a little taste of what this soundtrack is all about. Now, my personal opinion on this, which, yes, it's true, in the past I've given the opinions of other people as though they were my own, but this is my opinion. I really like the Dot Hack Sign tracks, yes. I thought those were all really great, but I didn't care for a number of the other ones. And on top of all that, I hate Tap. No, that's not what I was going to say. Not at all. I didn't care for the original tracks on here mainly, nor some of the ones from other anime. I just didn't find it very appealing. Like I said, I did like the tracks from Dot Hack Sign, and the other tracks grow on you over time. But some of them felt a bit weak. And that's why I'm giving this soundtrack a recommended. I'd give it a neutral because the tracks that I don't like outnumber the ones that I do.
Yeah.
But the ones that I don't like grow on you. And if you're just listening to them as a random mix of tracks from different shows and whatnot, they mix in well with others. So I'm going to give this one a recommended. Boy, was that a short hotspot.
Yeah. Well, considering how long the reviews were.
Right.
And some of the ranting that went on in it.
Right, right. But there's not much to say about this one because, I did the sample of this track months and months ago, even longer before episode 76 was
started.
So it's been a while since I've listened to that.
Well, I can tell you how...
So I distilled the opinion down to more or less its essence.
You can see how much he really does like it by how long it's been since he's actually listened to the CD.
What? How's that make sense?
Because if you really like the CD, you listen to it often.
Well, I just kind of listen to all of my tracks. You know, I store them on my computer for easy listening. So, but yeah, I guess I do. I do enjoy some of the tracks on here very much. Of course, I should just go out and buy the Dot Hat soundtrack and be done with it. Or the PlayStation games that come with the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Or was it the anime came with the soundtrack? I think the anime did. But the PlayStation games came with special anime episodes.
Yeah.
That Dot Hat's so crazy. Okay, so I guess that's it for episode 76.
What a great
episode. It's kind of a funky episode. Time travel, Z-Guy, DV3, and me, and
Z-Guy was here at least.
Yeah, that's true. I wish I hadn't seen him in a long time.
You know what? We should have got him on to tell him what happened. So he could have told the news to the world, to the universe, about him and the Fox Lady.
Our hero from our alien tell from episodes back, actually finally... The betrothal was cemented between him and the Fox Princess, and right now they are touring the galaxy.
Yeah.
On their intergalactic honeymoon. It's quite touching, really.
Yeah.
So we wish the best to Z-Guy, his wife, and their future endeavors together. return home safely from abroad.
Yeah, and maybe she'll let him come doing the show.
Oh, yes. I'm sure
since they won't be spending all the time dating now, because they'll be around each other all the time anyways.
Now, the dating can be replaced by nagging.
Right. So
we got to get him on here just to embarrass him a whole bunch, because he embarrasses easily.
Yes, true.
He was so tired when I saw him on his wedding night.
You know, we could also make fun of him for not going to NGK.
Yes, yes. He even mentioned that at his wedding, I think. Yeah, he's like, I really wish I could have gone to NDK with you guys. he was so tired. Apparently his greeting line was so long, his reception was like, I think 3 hours long.
Wow.
He didn't get to sit down until the tail end of that 3 hours.
See, when I get married, I don't think I want to have like a line like that.
Right.
I'll just be sitting somewhere with my wife. They can come to us if they want to shake our hands. Standing there for that long,
sucks.
Yeah. I think, you know, just mingle around, have fun, you know. They can find you. You're the one in the big, giant dress or the one in the fancy tuxedo that looks fancier than all the others.
And they should all know you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's there for you.
Yeah. Which one is he again? You know, but I'm sure they're having a lot of fun. Either that or she predictably hates all the bugs and the different culture of Venezuela. Because that's one of their stops.
Yeah. In
the
galaxy.
On Earth. I don't know where else they're going. I just know they wanted to hit some of the highlights and lowlights of Earth. So, yeah. But all the best to Z-Guy, the Fox Queen, now, upgraded. And I guess for episode 76 of ASO Radio, this is NZ17.
And GB3.
Signing out.